Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. Good to be here again. Thank you, Pastor. Of course, Pastor Harun is like my koko, right? He's my big brother. So always a joy to be with Bethany. I've been speaking in your church for the last 15 years. Can you believe it? So I was telling the young people just a couple of weeks ago that I've seen some of your young people that I spoke to. Now they are growing up, they're having kids, and it scares me, right? Because I realize that I'm getting old. But it's good to be back. Let's turn to your Bible. Let's turn to the book of Luke, all right? Luke chapter 9. And later on, we're going to read Luke chapter 10. But my whole sermon will be based on the book of Acts, all right? So Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 2. All right, if you're there, say amen. Cool. This is what the Bible says, all right? Then he called his 12 disciples. Everybody say 12. Right, 12 disciples together and give them power and authority. Everybody say power. No power. Let's try one time. Power and authority, right, over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God, right, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 10, verse 17 to 18. It says this, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You see, God's community always moves in the power of the Holy Spirit. When God began to call Moses in the Old Testament, Moses formed a community where they came and they began to move in the power of the Spirit. And when Jesus Christ came, he formed a community of 12 apostles. All right, and these 12 apostles, they move in the power and of the Holy Spirit. And when the early church in the book of Acts was born on the day of Pentecost, and guess what? The same power of the Holy Spirit was being demonstrated. So the only time when the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit ceases, when it stopped, was when disbelief and darkness began to creep into the church. The church must become a community whereby the power of the Holy Spirit is being demonstrated again. Amen? Right, so how do you move in the power of the Holy Spirit? Who are called to move in the power of the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you asked me this question this morning, all right? You see, many of us, we always think that certain ones are called to move in the power of the Spirit. That's not true, right? In fact, God has called all believers to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. We Asian, we always think that, oh, God only used the Ang Mo, right? God only used people from America. God only used people from overseas or Australia. But God will never use me because I'm not a pastor in church. And we always have this mindset. But if we read through the scripture, it actually tells us, it actually helps us to understand that, guess what? We have the same Holy Spirit in us that moves in the power. So while some of the people, they move in the nature of their ministry, right? All can be used by God to move in His power. And the scriptures clearly say that regarding this, all right? In fact, in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, no need to turn to it. The Bible says this, that signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? You can be used by God, right? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, but you shall receive power. Right, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. And you have to start to believe that God can use you to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen? Right, we have to believe that. And what does it mean to move in the power of the Holy Spirit? Right, sometimes we think that to move in the power of the Holy Spirit means to perform signs and wonders. Right, only, right? But that's more than that. Moving in the power of the Spirit is more than just signs and wonders. All right, so to understand what really happens, what it means to move in the power, we have to look at the book of Acts, all right, when after Pentecost, what really happens, right? Not just only signs and wonders, but I believe this is what the end times is coming. If you believe that revival is coming, amen. Right, this is what is going to happen. Not just only signs and wonders, all right? A few amazing things that really happened. So when revival came during those days, guess what? There was power evangelism, right? Power evangelism. When the Holy Spirit came upon the early church, people got to be very bold. I don't know about you, how many of you have been reaching out to someone in recent week or yesterday or a few days ago, one-to-one, sharing the gospel of Christ? No, right? Same, a lot of our churches, everywhere, all right? In fact, what stops you from evangelizing, right, is courage, right? So, but when the Holy Spirit came upon the early church, all right, in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says this: now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. I love these men, all right, because they were fishermen. And they marveled. The people were marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. You see, when Jesus encountered you, something within started to change. I still remember a few years back, my senior pastor called me, Pastor Young, and said, hey, there's this guy US, from Bethel, and now he's just moved to Europe. And God was like really using him for evangelistic purposes in Europe, all right? And I said, can you go and pick him up? Because he's flying by Singapore. And basically, he will be here for a few hours. And then you have to send him back to take a flight back to Europe, all right? So I said, fine, I'm free. I'll pick him up. So I went, and his name is Ben Fitzgerald. And basically, what happened, I saw this big, tall guy, you know, he's blurry, he walked out, I introduced myself, I said, hey, Pastor Ben, this is Andrew from Cornerstone, good to see you, and welcome to Singapore. And straight away, he asked me, where's the Starbucks? I need coffee now. Americans, all right, Australians, they like coffee. So I said, okay, down the just a few more, we walk a bit distance, we can get coffee. So we walked there, found Starbucks, and straight away, he went there to evangelize the barista. Can you believe it? So as the guy was, as a person was making coffee, he started to evangelize to that guy, and I was shocked. So after the whole thing, I was like, wow, Pastor, you're very bold, man. You're like speaking about Jesus to everyone. He said, yeah, that's me. So we went, and of course, Singaporeans, when you bring guests, where do you bring them to, all right? Chili crab. True. I know it's we are fighting who has the best food, but Indonesia win, all right? But anyway, so I brought him to eat chili crab. Jumbo, you know, Jumbo restaurant, nice, at East Coast Road. Lots of people, and we sat down, and I started to order the food. And halfway as we were chatting, he suddenly felt, he suddenly felt to challenge me, all right? He says, Andrew, have you ever stand up right here in this restaurant and preach to everybody? I was like, we don't do that in Singapore, right? But then he says, I dare you to do it now. I dare you to do it now. I was like, okay. I was in my mind, I was thinking, why don't you do it, you know? You should do it, right? And I said, yeah, Pastor, why don't you do it? You role model to me, all right? Show it to me how to do it. I never done it before in my whole life. But in my mind, I was thinking, okay, you are foreigner, you stand up, you are Ang Mo, you know, you're Caucasian, you stand up, you preach, nothing will happen to you. If I stand up and preach, I guarantee you someone will call the police, and the next moment, a mental hospital ambulance will come and pick me up, right? But he stood up and he started to preach. And I still remember one auntie was pushing a trolley, you know. She was like looking up, you know, pushing, hearing him preach. But I saw the boldness of Christ in him, and I was really impacted, all right? So after the whole meal, I still remember I dropped him off at the airport. I went back to take my church van. And I still remember as I walked towards it, the Holy Spirit prompted me. The Holy Spirit was telling me, say, hey, are you ashamed of my gospel? Are you ashamed of my gospel? And right at that moment, I tell you, I was so convicted. I wept and I said, God, I forgive me. Give me another chance, all right? If I have the opportunity to preach your gospel, I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And guess what? After I preached, the next day, one of my pastor called me up and said, hey, guess what? You use Grab, right? You all use Grab, right? So basically, he says, hey, I signed up to be Grab Hitch driver. I said, wow, Pastor, so poor, man. I need to drive Grab Hitch to earn money, you know. And so he said, hey, today I'm going to try out my first Grab Hitch. I'm going to pick up someone, but I'm scared. Can you sit beside me? You know, we go and pick up this person. So I said, okay, fine. So after work, we went pick up this lady down the road near my church, you know, at Katong, you know, where all the famous daksa is. And basically, we pick up this lady, and we sat down. There was another my friend was in front, my colleague. I got another colleague. I was on the left side, and she came in on my right hand side. And so she came in, and right at that moment, the Holy Spirit says, reach out to her now. And I was like, okay, what should I say? And also I started to talk, and I said, hi. I said, oh, you work here? Yeah. Then she asked me, where do you work? Oh, I said, I work down the road near the church. Then I told her this, oh, we are all pastors. And she was shocked. I said, wow, so sad lah. Pastor now need to drive Grab lah. And then we started talking, and I asked her about her family. I said, then she says this, I asked her, do you have kids, you know? And then she says they are 18 years old and blah, 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 so forth. And straight away I say, wow, oh, you have twins, ah? And she was shocked. She asked me, how come you know I have twins? But just now you say they are 18, right? They are 18 years old, right? So you see, you don't need a prophetic gift to prophesy, all right? To have the word of knowledge. So I said, hey, you know what? I started to get excited. I said, hey, I have a pair of twins too. You know, they are miracle twins. What happened to me? I started to share my testimony. All right, and at the end of the whole conversation, I said, hey, you know what? This week is Easter Sunday. My church is having an event. I'm preaching. Can you come and just visit my church? It's just next to your office. And guess what? She agreed. She came. And at the end of the day, she received Jesus. Come on, all right? Yeah, when people receive Christ, you must get excited. Right? She received Jesus. And I realized one thing. You know, the key is to be with Jesus. If you want bonus, if you want to really be a witness for God, guess what? You have to spend time with Jesus. Because in the book of Acts 4:13, it says this, that Peter and John, they have been with Jesus. That's why the bonus of Christ came upon them. All right, so when the Holy Spirit comes, when revival comes, guess what? The spirit of courage is also going to come upon God's people. Amen? So when courage, the next is conviction, all right? Conviction of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says this, now when they heard this, right, they were all cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You see, when the word of God is being preached, guess what? The conviction of the Holy Spirit comes. You know, a lot of times we are so worried that, hey, what if this person doesn't get saved? All right, I think to ease off our pressure, guess what? When it doesn't matter to us, right? Because at the end of the day, it's the Lord who causes that person to receive Christ to that extent, correct? It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I still remember a few years back, one of my pastor, Cornerstone pastor, all very funny one. So basically, he called me up and said, guess what? My wife, brother is coming to church, first time. He tells me he's antichrist, all right? He kicked out my wife. He was abusive to my wife and so forth, all right? So I know that he's a very angry person. So he said he's going to come to church suddenly, and then he says, you are the evangelist, Andrew. Why don't you go and evangelize to him? I said, you pastor, you also can evangelize, right? When it need to be me, right? So we were like joking, and after that, the night meeting, and this guy came. With the wife, they came, and I still remember one Ang Mo was preaching, and she was like sharing the word of God. At the end of the altar call, guess what happened? Right, this man walked down. He was not a Christian, right? Not a believer, angry Christian, antichrist. Right, he walks down, and my friend nudged me. I said, yeah, that one. Now it's just time to go and talk to him. So I was like, okay. Now my chance to talk to him, what should I do, all right? So I was praying, and I still remember walking up to the guy, and I kid you not, the Holy Spirit prompted me to tell this guy, okay? Tell him to repent, all right? You know this guy is angry, right? He hated Christian, right? And you go up and tell him that he needs to repent, guess what will happen? Either I'll be killed or I'll fly, right? So I was like, okay, but the Holy Spirit, the conviction was so strong, I kid you not, it was catch on camera, right? So I went up to him. I say, hi, sir. Hi, I'm Tim's friend in church. And then I say this, I feel, I cannot say God, right? I say, I feel, I need to tell you this, that you need to repent. I say that. Then guess what? I close my eyes. Because I'm expecting him to give me a tight slap or punch me right, in my stomach. But guess what? He cried. He was crying, and I opened my eyes, I was shocked. He was weeping. And I look at my friend was like, not very good. I said, he's crying. And then he shouted out loud, it was on camera, he shouted out, yeah, I need Jesus, I want to repent of all my sins. I said, okay, done it, done deal. And guess what? He received Jesus on that very day. Come on. All right, did I went up to tell him about the four gospels of Jesus Christ? I don't think so, right? But when the presence of God is in that place, when the Holy Spirit is there, guess what? We don't even need to do anything because the Holy Spirit will bring conviction unto men. All right, so conviction comes with the Holy Spirit. Next one, communication. All right, Acts chapter 4, verse 8, communication. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he began to even preach to the kings, all right, the rulers and the people and the elders of Israel. All right, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, guess what? He has the words to preach. He has the message to give. And many times we are so afraid of even speaking up. Right, how to share the gospel, how to share my testimony. A lot of times, so I tell you, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? God will anoint your mouth. Remember Ben Fitzgerald? Right, Ben Fitzgerald, same guy. The next year he came, same thing. I prepared myself already. Right, if he asked me to preach, I will preach, all right? So we went and to a nice restaurant, Shangri-La. You know, what is that? The line buffet, very nice, right? Got chef cooking. So he go around preaching to the chef. And at the end of the whole meal, he tapped me and said, Andrew, I said, I know what you want me to do, right? You want me to preach, right? Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it now. There's this table there, group of 10 people, Singaporeans, very hungry. They are eating, you know. Let's go there and preach to them. I said, deal, let's do it. So two of us, we went and we sit there. So I was thinking, gentlemen first, you go first, all right? So he said, hey, hi guys. My name is Ben. I'm from Australia. I'm from Australia, based in the US, but I'm here to tell you something. But guess what? My friend here got something more exciting things to tell you. I was like, wow, nice arrow, man. And I freaked out. I was like, okay, what should I tell these people? They were all looking at me very hungry. No, you better don't disturb Singaporeans who are hungry, all right? So I was like, okay, and I was eating, and they were eating, and I say hi, everyone. And I tell you, I kid you not, the Holy Spirit just came unto me, and I started to share. I was shocked. Well, I started to share my life story. I started to share, and I can see two ladies sitting at the left side, right? They were really in tears, right? They were really in tears. Then I realized one thing. Sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves, right? Sometimes we put too much pressure on our giftings, right? I'm not good with my English. Probably you can get it right now. My English is horrible, all right? But when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, it's a different story. Why? Because I realize one thing is not based on my ability. It's really based on the Spirit of God. Can somebody say amen? All right, so when the Holy Spirit comes, you know, conviction came, communication came, will also come, conversion. The next one will be conversion, all right? Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Chapter 2, verse 41. It says this, that those who gladly received his word were baptized, and on that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Wow, I'm waiting for this day. Imagine Bethany, today, 3,000 people came for your English service. Guess what? They received Jesus, and you know what's going to happen next? All of you here will become cell leaders or life group leaders. Right? You cannot run away, right? You will have to take charge of some of these new souls. And I'm waiting for that day to see this happening. And I'm seeing it happening now in our nation, right? Where young people are receiving Christ. I still remember walking up to a couple of kids who attend our church. You know, they weren't believers. And they sat through the whole message, the whole service. And all I did was to go up to them, not even giving an altar call. I went up to them and I said, hey, how's everything? And all I did was, hey, do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And guess what? All three of them say yes. All right, it's happening. This is revival. And we are living in a place where I believe right now God is really using Asia. Right? Have you heard recent news of gatherings in Indonesia, in Sarawak? You know, Pastor Philip Mantova, the whole field was packed with people, and they received Christ just like that. When they honor the Holy Spirit, guess what? God moves powerfully, and many souls were saved in Sarawak. You can Google it. All right, actually, you can see some of the videos. Very, very powerful. So you see, when the Holy Spirit comes, guess what? Right, people will be inspired. Right, remember the grab hitch story I told you about just now. Right, so my pastor was so excited. Right, we managed to save one guy through grab hitch. He shared in his sermons. The next moment, guess what? My whole church, right? Suddenly, everybody start driving grab. Right, it's like a Grab outreach movement. Right, I have members who when they take Grab, they will pray for the drivers. Right, I have members who take the taxi Comfort and all these things. They will pray for the driver. And every driver, when you take a cab and ask them and say, "Hey, I want to go to Katong East Coast." "Oh, that church, Cornerstone. Hey, someone prayed for me." You know, like testimonies after testimonies. I have my deacons, my leaders in my church. They prepare testimonies so that when they drive Grab Hitch, they know how to talk to that person. Right, because that person cannot run away, right? They have to sit there and listen throughout the whole journey. And guess what? Testimony and testimonies of people receiving Christ, people being healed, started to happen. And guess where it happens? In Singapore, right? Who God used? Local people. You people like you and me, right? God wants to use everyone. All right, so when the Holy Spirit come, power evangelism will also come. All right, when revival come, power evangelism will come. The next thing that happens when the Holy Spirit comes in the early church, right, is power encounter. All right, power encounter, healing. Right, in Acts chapter 19, verse 11, it says, God works unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? We have the power to pray for the sick. Right, that's what the Bible says, right? When Jesus sent them two by two out, he says, "I give you the power, I give you the authority, go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, preach the power of the kingdom of God." And guess what? Many healings started to take place. And you see, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God will bless you with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And one of the gifts, I believe, is really the gifts of healing. I still remember a young man. He just started work. He heard my sermon, all right? So he got so inspired. So what happened next was he started to pray. And every morning he prayed, said, "God, I heard the message. I really want to do something for you. I want to really heal the sick, you know, not in the church, but in my workplace. So God, tell me, who should I pray for?" So as he was praying, God gave him a vision of this man, all right, a man from another faith, another race, all right? And so he thought, okay, I don't know who this guy. So he went there at the workplace. And guess what? As the lift door opens, this same man walk into the lift. Can you believe it? The same man that he has a vision of, he walks in, and straight away he knows that he needs to pray for this man. So that morning when he was praying, the Lord says, pray for that man's shoulder. So he went up to that man and said, "Hey, hi, you work in this building?" "Yeah." I said, "Hey, I'm a Christian." He said this, "I'm a Christian. I was praying, and guess what? Your face appeared. You know, I don't even know who you are, but I felt that this is what my God wants to do to you." Then he asked him, "Is there anything wrong with your right shoulder?" And the guy was shocked. He said, "How do you know?" My shoulder very painful because I carry heavy stuff at workplace and it got injured. You know, it's been in pain for months. And then he says, "Hey, can I just lay hands on you to pray for you?" Right smack in the lift. Can you believe it? So he laid his hands on him. And guess what? The guy got healed. He was shocked. Right, the young man was shocked too. He said, "Wow, he got healed." And after that, he was shocked. He walked out. You know, the next day, the same young man started to pray again, and said, "God, who do you want me to reach out to today?" And the same face appeared. This same man appeared on his face, but this time he saw a hand, like an evil hand, clinching on towards the left ear of this guy. And so Saul went to work, saw him again, all right, and said, "Hey, you know what? How's your shoulder? Hey, everything is okay now. You know, I can do things that I can't do before." I say, "Wow, praise the Lord." Then he says this, "Hey, I pray for you again." And this time I saw a hand, a black hand, all right, covering your left ear. "Is there anything wrong with you?" And the guy he went crazy, right? He said, "How do you know?" He says, I was born deaf, right? I was born deaf. He says, "Hey, I feel I should really pray for you to rebuild this hand." And so this guy prayed for him, rebuilt it in the name of Jesus. Guess what? He heard a pop sound. And his hearing was being restored. Come on. Amen. Clap, clap, all right? God restored. And this guy was shocked, all right? He was shocked. He said, "How can it be, you know?" Then he says, "Hey, I want to buy you lunch because now I can hear. I can. My arms is working now. I really need to buy you lunch." So they arrange. All right, they met up during lunchtime. They sat down, and this man from another faith, another race, turned to him and said, "Hey,
wow, your God very powerful. Who's your God? All right, this is what he said, who is your God? And then this young man, he's very funny, right? He says, you got handphone or not? I said, yeah, I got handphone. He said, hey, can I have permission to download an app into your phone? And guess what? He downloaded the Bible app. All right, the founder is going to come next week, all right, to Singapore. I'm going to tell him this story. All right, he said, download this app. And he downloaded the Bible app, and he told this man, I said, you go back, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then you will know who my God is. All right, then next week, I'll meet you again for kopi, and we talk more, all right? So he really downloaded the app. He went back, he read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and guess what? The next coffee session, they met up. This guy gave his life to Jesus. Come on, and he's attending my friend's church. All right, can you believe it? This is happening. Right, God using normal person like you and me, right? When we begin to understand what the scripture really talks about how God is giving us the power to bring deliverance, to bring healing to the nations, all right? So when the Holy Spirit came, guess what? Power encounters happen. Next one, confrontation with dark forces. All right, confrontation with dark forces in Acts chapter 5, verse 16. It says this, after a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirit, they were all what? Healed, right? They were all healed. The sick people got healed. Those who were tormented by unclean spirit, demon-possessed, guess what? They were all delivered and healed. Many years back, I still remember I was going for a mission trip. I was young. And I went with a friend. He's a pastor in one of our local church. I always joke about him, right? His name is Ben Chu. I say he's the ghost pastor of Christianity, all right? Everywhere he goes, I got deliverance issue. People would be demonized. There were demons appear. You know, we have to pray for them. So we went to this trip in the Philippines, and it was a very tiring trip because lots of prayer. I need to pray for the people. Pray for them to be set free. And on the last day of the conference, right, we were so tired. I was sitting on the chair, and he was sitting there. We were all zonked out. We were very tired. And suddenly, a girl right in front of us started to manifest. All right, young girl, probably about 15, 16 years old. She started to manifest. She was screaming. And I was so tired. I said, Ben, you see again, you know, what should we do? He said, we got to pray for this girl, right? So he asked me and one of my friends. Two of us pretty big size, all right? When we add together, probably we are about 200 kg. He's 120, I'm 80, like, just to let you know. All right, so he says, let's hold on to her. So she was very small, and we were holding on to her. And guess what? She's like the Incredible Hulk, right? So I was like holding her arms, and she like, aah! So me and my friend bang into each other, pam. Right? She got like so much strength, all right? So this is weird. So she's a lot of commotion started. So everybody started to look at our direction. And the pastor, the Filipino pastor, says, "Hey, I think better bring this girl to my house. Let's pray for her there because everybody is afraid. They are scared, you know, and everybody is watching. So we tried, but she didn't want to move. We got so tired. We have to drag her, right? Drag her all the way to the pastor's house. So at the house, we started to pray in tongues." Because we felt this is not right. Something's wrong, you know. So we started to pray in tongues. And this girl started to manifest even more. And I kid you not, first time in my whole life. Last time, I don't believe. Right? When people tell me all these stories, I'm like, are you sure? You know, until when I personally encountered it, I was like, okay, God, forgive me. I repent. So what happened was, as we were praying in tongues, the presence of God just came into to that room, all right? And this girl started to speak. And guess what? He doesn't speak in a female voice. He spoke in a male voice, all right? The voice says, I'm going to kill her, all these things. And straight away, we know it's the spirit of death, all right? So we started to pray. It took us like 2-3 hours, all right, just to pray for her. But praise the Lord, at the end of the day, this girl got set free. She was delivered, right? Her countenance really changed. So praise the Lord, she got delivered. We were happy. We went back home. We thought nothing of it. So a few years later, I went back to the same place. I met up with the pastor. I said, hey, pastor, remember or not? The girl, the small girl, remember? She was like, feel. Then she spoke in a man's voice. I said, yeah, I remember. So I asked, hey, how is this person? How is she doing? And then he testified. He says, you know what? This girl, after you guys prayed for her, she got healed. Right? In fact, she was diagnosed with cancer. She was supposed to die. All right. So, but we prayed for her. She got saved. She got delivered. And guess what she's doing now? She's going through all the provinces planting churches, preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on. Amen. Right, and I was so encouraged. I was like, wow, praise God we were there. Praise God we obeyed the Holy Spirit. Praise God we prayed for her. Praise God that she got set free. And now she's preaching the gospel to set the captives free. Come on, praise the Lord. Amen. Come on, let's clap unto the Lord. All right, so power encounters will come. All right, healing, confrontation with dark forces. Lastly, divine protection. All right, divine protection. In Acts chapter 28, verse 3, it says this. Both Peter and Paul and Silas, okay, they all experienced divine deliverance, okay, from prison. And Paul was bitten by a snake and he did not die. In fact, in Acts chapter 28, verse 3, it says that, right? Paul was, in fact, bitten by the snake but did not die. But I'm not telling you today you go to the Singapore Zoo, ask the cobra to bite you, okay? Don't do that, all right? But to that extent, guess what? When we do the work of the ministry, right, of course, the evil forces will confront us because we are fighting against their kingdom, right? I think what the Lord was trying to encourage us is this, that He will protect us. Right, this blood is powerful. Right, His blood is powerful than any other spirit. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. And God promised us divine protection. Even up till today, in my life, I see God's protection over my life. When I went to mission trip, right, I was only like 15 years old. Cebu, right, in Philippines, nice, big coconut trees everywhere, right? So I went there with a group of my friends in church. We were young, our first mission trip, I thought quite fun, right? So we went there, play basketball with the local, right, beside the beach, you know, very nice, very cooling. So, but because of traffic, right, my team arrived at the end. All right, so all my friends, they finished their games. They were sitting down under the coconut tree drinking Coca-Cola, all right? So I went there and I was like, okay, game finished. No, too late. I was walking towards my friend. As I was walking towards them, planning to sit next to my friend, all right? Just a few places away. As I was walking towards them, and I kid you not, the Holy Spirit says, go the other side. Go the other side. Sit at the other end. So I was like, okay, like someone was leading me, so I like walking towards them. My friend saw me, hey! So I turned towards my right, Singaporeans, they were all saying, hey, wow, Andrew, you antisocial, don't want to hang with us, why are you walking there? So I was as I was walking there, I kid you not, when my friend shouted, Andrew, you antisocial, guess what? A coconut fell, boom, right at the place where I'm supposed to sit, all right? And I freaked out. Everybody was shocked. Right, I was standing there, I was like, okay, imagine I don't listen to the Holy Spirit. Imagine I walk towards there, I sit down, that's my first ever mission trip in my whole life. I got martyred by coconut in the Philippines, all right? What a glorious way to die. Right, but God preserved my life throughout my life. So probably some of you heard my last sermon I was here. I nearly died, all right, in a car accident. But guess what? God preserved my life. God preserved my life. And this is what God wants to do. He wants to preserve your life too. He wants to help you. Amen. Right? When you walk with Him, He will walk with you. All right? So, divine protection. So, what happened was when the revival came, power evangelism happens, power encounters happen. And lastly, all right, Holy Spirit guidance. Right? Holy Spirit guidance. Philip was led to go to the desert in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. He was there to preach to the eunuch, and that eunuch got saved and was baptized. Peter was led to go to Cornelius' house. We read it in the scriptures in the book of Acts chapter 10. And guess what? His whole household were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul was led to go to Macedonia by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 10. And guess what? Revival happens in Macedonia. He obeyed the Holy Spirit. He went there to preach. And guess what? Everybody in Macedonia received Christ. They got saved. Right? So, Holy Spirit guidance. So, how do we move in the power of the Spirit? Right, so number one, guess what? You must be baptized in the Spirit. Right, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, you must believe that God can use you. Right, you must believe that God can use you. Number three, you must daily seek God for His power. And lastly, you must act when God directs. You know, I read a story from a mission journal, and I saw this story. I usually I will cut it out and I will put it in my archives. All right. So basically, this story talks about three Albanian children, right? Little boys, about 7 to 8 years old, and they were listening to the radio one day, and they heard a gospel message, and it touches their hearts. And guess what? These three children received Christ. They got saved after hearing the gospel message in the radio. So the next day, they tune into the same radio station again. And not only that, they heard that Jesus saved, but also Jesus healed. Heals, all right? So they turn to each other and say, maybe let's go and do something since this is what the radio is. This is what the radio talks about Jesus. We are now believers in Jesus Christ, and now he talks about healing. Maybe we should do something. So they decided to go to the biggest hospital in the city. All right, went in and they heard the radio. The radio taught them how to pray. All right, lay your hands, declare in the name of Jesus, be healed, and that's it. All right, so they tried. So they went to this guy, lay hands on the person. And the person was on the bed, probably dying. Lay hands on it, and they say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And this guy got healed. He was shocked. Guess what? He ran out of the hospital. So these three young boys, the report says, they were shocked. So they went to another room. They started to pray for everyone. And by noon, all right, everybody came running out of the hospital healed. All right, it got the news attention. So basically what happened was they make a news report out of this whole thing. They interviewed the kids, you know, and asked them what happened. The kids tell them they heard from the radio station, etc., etc. But as I was reading this, I was amazed, and I was thinking to myself, I was asking question to myself, how old are these believers? They are like 7 to 8 years old. How long have they received Jesus? Probably one day. Did they go for healing classes? Did they have a healing degree, theological degree, and everything? Probably not, right? Because they just got saved like 1-2 days ago, all right? And they went out to heal the sick. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit says, told me this, that these guys they have become spiritual giants. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit that teaches them what to do, right? It's the Holy Spirit that uses young people. And amazing, all right, last story. So basically what happened was this. A couple of years back, we did this youth conference, all right? We get probably about 400 young people from 30 over churches, all right? They are leaders. They came, sat 1 week. We trained them. Give them exposure. We send them out, actually, all right? Like what the Bible says, send them into groups, right? Into the streets in Singapore to pray. So before that, we asked them to pray and see who they need to reach out to. So this group of girls, all right, probably they are like 13, 14, 15 years old. Three of them, they were praying, and the Lord gave them a vision about this old auntie on wheelchair, all right, at Parkway Parade selling tissue paper. So they felt that they should really go and pray for her. So they went. They say, hey, hello, auntie, first day, right? Can we pray for you? We are from the church down the road. We want to pray for you. And firstly, the auntie reject, all right? No, I don't need prayer. And those kids got very discouraged, right? But they say a prayer and bless the lady, and they left. So the next day, another group, because so big, right? All different groups, right? Another group who doesn't know what happened to the first group. Same thing, they pray. They saw this woman in a wheelchair, but this woman, there was a pain on her knee, all right? So they felt that they should go and pray for her. So they went, and this lady was shocked. Again, another three different group of girls, three girls come and pray for me, and the girl says, auntie, I want to pray for your knee. So she like, let you all pray. La. So those girls lay hands on her knee, and guess what? The pain went off, was gone. She got healed, all right? So then they asked her, hey, do you want to receive Jesus? And she says no. So the girls were discouraged, but they were very happy that this lady got healed. So they went back without telling anyone. So on the last day, right, another group of girls, 15, 16 years old, pray again, saw this vision of this auntie, and it's like God was telling them that she's ready to receive Christ, all right? So they got bold, They didn't hear what happened to the first group. They didn't hear what happened to the second group. Went to that lady at Parkway, saw that lady selling tissue, and then the lady said, "Hey, you're the group from that church, right?" I said, "Yeah, yeah." You know, and I said, "But auntie, I want to pray for you. I felt that God wants to tell you that He loves you." The moment when this trigger says they felt that Jesus loves you, when they speak it out, guess what? She started crying. This lady started crying, right? And they pray for her, and on that day, she received Jesus. Come on. And now, she's attending my church in my Chinese service. Come on, all right? True story, it's happening. Young people. All right, and I believe this is, when they were sharing their testimonies, right, when this group shared, you know, then the other group says, same auntie, you know, same auntie. Then the first group, first the same auntie. Guess what? Everybody plays a part. Right, that nobody was guiding them. It was really the Holy Spirit, you know, teaching them to be bold, to be courageous, to be there, being empowered to do what God was doing. And when I was sitting there hearing all these testimonies, then I realized one thing: wow, this might be how Jesus had felt. Right, remember when I read about the scripture, right, in Luke chapter 10 verse 70, right, 18, it says this: when the 70 returned, right, with so much joy, saying, "Lord, guess what? Even the demons are subject to us in your name." And then Jesus says, "Ha ha ha, you know what? I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." You see, the 70 return with so much joy, right? Same as that group of girls, they return with so much joy. And when you are being used by God, right? When you are being used by God in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is a joy. Like what my sister said, there is a joy. We are happy, all right? There's a joy, indescribable, right? You'll be awed by the fact that, guess what? God is willing to use girls, small girls, innocent girls, not perfect vessel, imperfect vessel like you and me. God is using us to set the captives free, right? God is you know what? God is calling each and every one of us to really move in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? It's time to arise. It's time, you know, Indonesia's, I love Indonesia. Every time when I go there, I really felt the spirit of revival in that place. Right? I believe Indonesia has a big part to play for the coming revival that is going to happen in Asia. Right? But more than that, you know, I believe as you and me, when we begin to understand what the word of the Lord says, guess what? We have the power to pray for the sick. Right? We have the power to cast out demons. Why? Because God has given us that power through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Shall I invite you to stand? Can I get the worship team up? You know, right now, I want you to pray in the Holy Spirit. Right, I want you to pray in the Holy Spirit. I want you to welcome the Holy Spirit in your life. Probably you live a life that is defeated, you are discouraged, you know, you feel that nothing's happening to you. You know, you feel that, will God use me? You know, will God empower me? Will God use me? He likes to use vessels. You know, when I was young, I always pray this prayer: God, if you can use a donkey, you can use me. All right, why? Because I'm more handsome than a donkey. I pray that, right? And sure enough, guess what? God really used me. So a couple of years back, what happened was I was invited, right, to speak at Empower 21. I'm the youngest speaker. All right, so they get me, Pastor Harun, you know, you should come. You know, I went. And on the first day of, before the conference starts, they have all the speakers makan, right? Gathering. So I walk in and I freak out. I was like, who am I, you know? All these people I respect. People like Cindy Jacobs lah. People like all our friends, all the Singapore senior pastors are there lah. Pastor Kong Hee, Pastor Lawrence, all these people were there. And I was like the only youngest guy. Cindy Jacobs was there. Who else? All these big names, all right, in the Christian world. People that I look up to were there. And I kid you not, I freak out. My knees were meeting each other, all right. I was like, okay, I shouldn't be here. Maybe I should think of an excuse. Go back, take my bags and fly off. Right, Egbert lah. I'm not worthy, all right, to be here. So I hatch up a plan. I kid you not. I hatch up a plan. Okay, I'm going to tell my assistant, right, the guy who is looking after me. I said, I'm going to go back to my hotel, stomach ache, all right. I need to go back to my hotel. So I did, and I succeed. Why they let me go back to the hotel? So I say, okay, let's do it. You know, let's pack my bag and let's go off, right? Because I'm unworthy to be here, right? Who am I? Nobody knows me. So as I was packing, the Holy Spirit rebuked me. He says, how dare you, Lord, to that extent? How dare you stop the door that I've opened for you? How dare you? How dare you reject the gifts of the Holy Spirit that is in me? And I feel when I say this thing, it will set you free. Because this is what the Holy Spirit rebuked me. He says this, Andrew, the same Holy Spirit that's in you is the same Holy Spirit that's in all these speakers that empowered anyone. All these speakers. Right? All these speakers. And I still remember I was weeping. I started crying. I repented. I said, God, all right, I'll go and do it. I'm the youngest speaker there. I was the youngest. Asian. I'll do it. So I went there, I spoke, praised the Lord, move of the Holy Spirit, and I give glory to God. But you see, sometimes we tend to look down on ourselves, true or not? Right? We always think that, God can use that person. God can use Reinhard Bonnke. He's the only person that can preach to 1 million people. God can use Billy Graham. God can use Bill Johnson to pray for the sick. Use Randy Clark to heal the sick. Use Pastor Johan, you know, to pray for the sick, you know. Use Pastor Nico to run huge crusades. Praise the Lord for all these men of God. Right, but guess what? It's the Holy Spirit that empowers them. Right, there's no junior Holy Spirit. I teach my kids. I say there's no children Holy Spirit. Right, there's no teenager Holy Spirit. It is the same Holy Spirit. Amen. So why don't you close your eyes as we sing Come Holy Spirit, one of my favorite songs. Guess what? Written by an Asian. My dear friend, all right? The last few events I went, everybody sing this song. I don't know why. Maybe it's like God reminding me, you know what? It's the Holy Spirit. All right, so I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift up your hands. And let's welcome the Holy Spirit into your life. Probably if you feel there's no empowerment, empowerment comes by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing it.
Come, Holy Spirit, fall on me now. I need your anointing. Come with your power.
I love you, Holy Spirit.
I love you, Holy Spirit. You captivated my soul. And every day I grow to love you more.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit, fall on me now.
I need your anointing.
I need your anointing. Come in your heart.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Holy Spirit. You captivated my soul. And every day I grow to love you more.
I'm reaching, Lord.
I'm reaching for your heart. You hold my life in your hands, drawing me closer to you. I feel your power in you. Nothing compares to this place where I can see you face to face. I worship you in spirit and in truth.
Come, Holy Spirit, I'm reaching.
I'm reaching for your heart. You hold my life in your hand, drawing me closer to you. I feel your power in you. Nothing compares to this place where I can see you face to face. I worship you in spirit and in truth.
You're saying, Pastor Andrew, I want all these encounters, oh God. Pastor Andrew, I want to be courageous. I want not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I have the courage? Can I have the boldness? Can I have the anointing to preach, the anointing to lay hands on the sick, the anointing to prophesy, the anointing to cast out demons? Can I be used by God? My friends, you can be used by God. You can be used by God. If God can use me, if God can use these people that I mentioned to you, these are all true stories happening here in Singapore. Guess what? God can use you too.
So if you're saying, Pastor, I want to be used by God, I want the power, empowerment of the Holy Spirit, right now, when I count to three, I want you to raise up your hands and say, God, use me. Will you do that? One, two, three. Lift up your hands and say, God, use me. Many hands. Say, God, use me. Will you do that? Say, God, Holy Spirit, use me. Holy Spirit, use me. When I was 15 years old, when I first received Christ, I say, God, if you can use a donkey, you can use me. You can use me. And now, 41 years old, I've seen how God opened doors throughout the world for me. Next week, I'll be in Gateway. Come on. Asian in Gateway. Going to be leading worship there in America. Robert Morris Church. Come on, who am I? But the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, you see all these hands, oh God. And I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit will empower each and every one of them in Jesus' name. That the Holy Spirit empower them to do the work of the ministry. That you give them courage, oh God, in their workplace, that they will feel the burden to reach out to someone who is hurting, someone who is in need of Jesus, someone who needs peace, oh God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll use them, Lord, to share the about Jesus. You will use them to pray for the sick. And I pray miracles are going to happen in Jesus' name. Miracles are going to happen. People will be set free from depression. People will be set free from anxiety. People will be set free of their sicknesses and their bondages in Jesus' name. Lord, send them forth, oh God. Just like how Jesus, you sent forth the 70, oh God. And they returned with so many testimonies. And guess what? The joy of the Lord began to erupt in the church. And I'm going to see that right now in Bethany, oh God. Lord, there are many testimonies of people receiving salvation out of these four walls of the church, Lord. In their workplace, in their schools, in Jesus' name, we're going to rejoice, oh God. We're going to rejoice together with the heavenlies, oh God, to see salvation coming forth in our nation, in Singapore, oh God, in Jesus' name. Lord, use them for the extension of your kingdom, and in Jesus' name, and all of God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Why don't we give Jesus a mighty praise offering, amen. Come on, hallelujah. Amen.